Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, a very special Friday morning edition as we have. And guys, anytime you can have a legendary guest and coach on, then we definitely are excited to have him.
Yeah, no doubt about it, guys. Coach Shankweiler, this is Matt Semenza. Great catching up with you. Really, really happy to have you on the program today. And you know, Coach, I'll kind of jump right into it. You know, when you came here, what, 3 years ago now? Hey, let's face it, the O-line just really was, you know, it wasn't a strength of the team. There wasn't much depth. And I know you've worked extremely hard over the last 3 years to build it up. And you know, certainly on paper right now, Coach, it looks like it's in a great position, you know, size-wise, experience and depth-wise, in a much better place, Coach. So love to hear your thoughts on that as we open the show.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on. You got to be careful of that legend stuff. That's what they put on your gravestone, so I'm not quite ready for that. But there's, you know, every college football program goes through ebbs and flows. And, you know, obviously when we got here 3 years ago, the talent level across the board, I mean, at every position, was significantly different than when I left here, you know, with Coach Holtz. But where it was really glaring is, you know, you win up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And so, you know, you can hide some skill people. You can adjust your offense where, you know, if your quarterback doesn't run well, you know, or if he doesn't throw well, or you can adjust those things. But what you can't adjust the offensive and defensive line. I think that's true way back when the game first started, but there have been a lot of people, and I think maybe the previous regime had a little bit of a philosophy that wasn't the most important thing. So, you know, that didn't fit what we believe, what Mike Houston believes. And so we've had to go recruit some, you know, large numbers of linemen on both sides of the ball and develop. And, you know, some of those kids have come and left, and some of those kids have turned into really good players. And I think we're at a point now, we gained a lot of traction on the offensive front last year. Our rushing game was awfully good. We probably didn't pass protect up to the standard we need to be, but I had to do a lot with the fact that a lot of these kids had never played, or at least had never played the position we had them in. So it's been a growth issue. And I agree. I think recruiting, you know, there's an old expression. When I worked for Coach Holtz, the old Coach Holtz, he used to say, you improve your roster two ways, either addition or deletion. And, you know, we just, unfortunately, we didn't have any bodies to even delete when we got here. So ours has been totally by addition.
Hey, Coach, I remember when you were on with us for Media Day show we did back in 2019, and you said, guys, just because you're starting doesn't mean that you would start anywhere else, basically paraphrasing what you were saying. And that really hit home with me, is that just because you're starting doesn't make you good, right?
Well, I appreciate you remembering that, because I tell our kids that, you know, every time we start the season, I put up a depth chart, and, you know, there's a first group and there's a second group and third group. Okay. And then what I do is I fill in the names, and they always look at me like, well, you don't have a first left guard or first left tackle. And I said, because no one is playing to the standard of a first string left guard, left tackle in Division I football. Okay. And so that's you know, something I think is really important for everybody to, you know, you got names, okay, there are names on the roster, but are they developed enough to play at a winning level, you know, at this level of football? So, you know, I think we've got some kids now. I looked at the other day in our two deep, every kid in the two deep except one has started a Division I football game. And you know, three of them are transfers, but that's okay. It's still Division I football. And so the experience factor, you know, you can say, okay, now somebody needs to play at a first string level, okay, because you have competition now to push you to be a first string player. And I think that's what was lacking the first year. There was just, you know, it was coach push, okay? You know, it was coach demanded. Instead of now, it's, you know what, you don't get it done. There's somebody right behind you that's played, and he can do it too, so.
Coach, in a general sense, before we dive into some of the names specifically and those transfers that you've already referenced, just talk about the versatility. We were discussing it off air before we started recording, and just the versatility of this unit. So many guys can play different positions, and talk about how that will work out.
You know, and it's I'm not sure if it's necessarily a positive thing. It was out of necessity. But we've had so many guys that have had to play multiple positions that, and the way our offense is built and the way I teach the system and the fundamentals of the line of scrimmage, every kid, albeit not all of them can snap a football, but from a fundamental and from assignment and a concept standpoint, they all should be able to mentally go play every position. You obviously look for kids with certain body characteristics to play, you know, play tackle versus center and guard. But, you know, an example would be Nashad Strother. You know, Nashad got thrown into the mix early when he first got here, and he has taken, he's taken some lickings, and but now he's starting to deliver them. And but he has started a Division I football game at every position except center. And I'm not sure if I didn't put him at center, he wouldn't be a really, really good player. And so we've done that. You know, Noah Henderson has played left tackle and right tackles, even played some guard. Avery Jones, the kid that transferred here 2 years ago from that school over there off of I-40, he started nine games at left guard, and last year he started 12 at center. Fernando Fry, who graduated, has started for us. Over his career here, he has started left guard, center, and right guard. And so I could keep naming guys like that, but it's really important that you don't pigeonhole a guy into a position because you just don't know what the future holds. And so I always want to be flexible, that we don't miss a beat, that we, you know, that we always have, you know, on every bus, we always got at least three guys that can play center because it all starts there. And sometimes our second center might be our second left guard. Okay. So I try to cross train as much as we can. And that's because, you know, we're all victims of our past. And I've been in a situation many years ago where you get, you know, all of a sudden you're playing a kid that's not very good because he's the next guy on the totem pole. Well, my feeling is move somebody from somewhere else over there. Okay. Always have your best five players on the field, regardless of what position they play. And I think over time here, over the last 3 years, it's paid off for us.
No doubt. Coach, this is Matt. Just wanted to dive into the personnel a little bit here. And there are two guys that kind of jumped out at me as I was kind of looking through the roster a little bit, just because two guys I see with a lot of potential, but they've had some health problems here over the last years. Just wanted to get your thoughts on sort of the health and status of first Noah Henderson and then Bailey Malovich.
Okay. Well, you're right. They're both underachievers. And it's not because of their, you know, anything they haven't done, is they've just had some very unfortunate circumstances. Noah is probably, since I've been back here, the most talented kid that we've had. But Noah came from a small program in rural South Carolina and was really kind of a, okay, roll the dice kind of guy. When, you know, you projected him down the road, this big, fast, strong kid, doesn't really know how to play yet. And so, you know, he's in the program and, you know, never really flipped the switch. And then, you know, all of a sudden 2 years ago, he decided he wanted to be a player. And then he's developed, or developed, he was born with some congenital back issues. And that has really limited him in strength and conditioning. It's really limited him in number of plays he could play. Right before, after pregame warm-up at Navy, he came up to me and said, "Coach, I can't go." You know, so again, I'm glad we have some versatility. But, you know, he is just – it's always been an issue for him. Now, we have got him on a really tight leash as far as the number of reps, the kinds of drills I ask him to do, you know, that maybe other guys can do. I don't want to challenge that lower back. And so we've done a good job. He's lost some weight. He's got a tremendous attitude. He really wants to do right. You know, he wants to play, and he's really not just the leader in the offensive line. He's one of the leaders of our team because the kids respect him so much from where he's come from. So we're going to have to really, you know, that's when we talk about depth. We're going to have to be careful. He can't go play. He can't go play 85 plays. That'd just be, it'd be really not very smart on our part to let that happen. But he is an outstanding talent. And as you know, I had my knee replaced this summer, so I've spent some time with our orthopedic and he told me, he said, I can't believe the kid's playing football.
Wow.
He said, wow. Yeah. And so it's a real credit to his desire and his work ethic to make it where he can go out there and play. And then Bailey Malovic, you know, same kind of story. He was a junior college kid and came in here, and like a lot of newcomers, he was lost and, you know, just, you know, academically, socially, you know, all of a sudden you're playing, you know, you're not playing Kansas JUCO football anymore. And he's always had a weight issue. He struggles to gain weight. So he got knocked around. So it's taken him time. And then last year he had a great camp. And the seventh play of the opening game against Appalachian, he tore his ACL, and so you know, he missed every play except seven, and so he is, you know, again, same thing. He has been in a development program. He's up to 313 pounds now. He has worked his tail off. All of our OTAs so far this summer, he's been full speed. He's got no restrictions. And, you know, we got to watch him. We can't let him get fatigued. But he has done everything that John Williams asked him to do in the weight room, and he's highly motivated. And so if those two kids can stay healthy and play like they're capable, I mean, they're two potential NFL guys. And, you know, but that's going to be the key, keeping them on the field.
Coach, one of the questions I had, we were talking about versatility and where you came from coming back. And, you know, I always tell the kids that are up and coming, no matter how great the coaches are, you still have to have talent. And you guys have worked really hard on that. And by, I guess, necessity, the versatility piece is going to be to your strength, right? Because now you've got guys, not only that they have the experience, they have the starts, but also they can play multiple positions for you.
That's the whole key. And it all goes back to what I said earlier. You always strive to have your best five football players. I didn't say your best guard, okay? Your best five football players on the field at the same time. And if it means a kid's got to play two spots, he does. You know, as I look at – I'll just use the transfers as an example. I mentioned Avery Jones 2 years ago. You know, he played like – I mean, you're not going to believe this. And I don't know. But he played like one play at Chapel Hill, okay? And that was the last play of the Mercer game, and they were up by 70 points. And he comes over here, and by game three, he's a starter at left guard. Now, is he a great player? No, not yet. But then, you know, we taught him to play guard. I taught him to play center. He never played center in his life. He was, you know, arguably one of the top two or three centers in the conference last year, okay? He can go play either guard, play center. Understands the whole system, you know. And then if you take Parker Moore, he came in here from West Virginia, You know, Parker started, I think, 9 games at West Virginia last year at right tackle. Well, you know, he has played between spring practice and the OTAs. He's played both tackles and right guard. And again, just, hey, let's try this. Let's learn here. Our backup center, okay, is a kid that transferred in here from Marist College. And people say, Marist College? Well, you know, it's FCS football. It's pretty good. And he was an all-conference player at tackle. Okay, I got him at center now. He spent the whole summer snapping. So here's a kid that could really, you know, he's not the length of a tackle, but he played 4 years of college football at tackle. Okay, and then we've got a kid in here from Norfolk State, Justin Redd, who, you know, he walks in the room. You say, well, that's the way they're all supposed to look like. And he was voted the lineman of the year in the MEAC conference, and which is, you know, I'm not saying it's the SEC, but you're lineman of the year in any league, you're pretty good. And he's worked at guard and tackle. So, and I think that's the best way for a guy to learn. Now, some kids learn, you got to stick them one place and just leave them there. Okay. Especially a freshman. But you've got guys that have got some savvy about them and have played college football. They learn better when you force them into different positions, and they understand the whole concept now. And there's a difference in teaching rules versus concepts. The more you play, the more a kid conceptually understand the whole picture. You know, a guy right out of high school, he says, okay, I got to go block that number on that jersey. Okay, well, what happens when that jersey moves? What happens when that jersey doesn't line up there? Okay, and so older kids, you can teach more concept to. And we got a young kid, probably kind of the star of spring practice, Jacob Sacra. He's came in here. He's a true freshman. He's got talent written all over him. I mean, you know, you look around, he should be in the Big Ten. I mean, he is, and he's that kind of kid. You know, he learns really well, and you know, how much he plays this year remains to be seen. But you know, that I just think that's the way you teach. And because I always want kids to know, if you're one of the best five, by God, I'm gonna get you on the field somewhere.
Nice segue, Coach. Kind of along those lines, we talked about the versatility, the improved depth, by leaps and bounds. But just going into this year, I had a question submitted by a former player in the program several years ago, back during the Holt years, and he was just saying, if you would ask Coach Shank if he plans on playing a 5-man line if healthy, or with all the new bodies and improved talent, are you planning on playing a lot of guys?
Well, and that's a great question. Every year you go into it wanting to have two deep that can play. Okay, well, we've got two deep that have played. Now, what is going to be the difference in the first guy and the second guy? How significant is that difference? That will determine the number of repetitions that you divide between those two. I don't feel comfortable with saying, okay, the second offensive line goes in the game. Okay, I don't think that's a wise thing to do. But I do feel comfortable of playing. You know, I can see right now, 8 guys, 9 guys that you would say, okay, they go in the game and you're not going to really notice it. So that's the goal every year. But this is the closest I've been to that. Whew. Well, it's the closest I've been to it in many, many years. So I'm going to try my best to take advantage of it.
Coach, this is music to my ears. This is Matt again. And, you know, Coach, even though I was a defensive guy, I am a firm believer that you win games up front.
Right.
And absolutely love to see that, you know, the progress we made running the ball. I think it was a big transition too, Coach, when you came here, because we were obviously when Ruff was here, we were a air raid type system. And then, you know, obviously under Scotty Montgomery, a little more of a spread, not focused as much on the running game. So I think you had to also change the mentality, not just the personnel, but the mentality of these guys to be a running football team. Can you talk a little bit about that and, just sort of the focus on running the football?
Yeah, I think, you know, and Mike Houston is a is a pleasure to work for because of his mentality is the same. You know, you look, all you got to do, here's all you got to do. Okay. I don't know enough about Division II or Division III to tell you, but if you look at the teams that play for the national championship at the FBS and the FCS level, okay, they all have outstanding lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They can run the ball and they can stop the run. You know, Georgia did that. Alabama does that. Cincinnati does that. The really good teams, that's what you do. And it just, again, and I mentioned this earlier, things go in trends and cycles, but the reality of it is if you look at the long haul of the game of football, okay, you don't win the Super Bowl unless you kick somebody's ass up front. I mean, yeah, that's just the way it is, and on both sides. And so, you know, we got to, you know, are we going to go out and sign the same kid that Ohio State has? No, we're not. That's not going to happen. But we can have that mentality, okay, and we can push to develop the kids to play that way. And so, two years ago, we made a lot of strides. COVID, we arguably had a winning season, but we didn't. And we had the freshman of the year, Rajee Harris at running back. Okay. Well, he's a good player, but he had a pretty good effort up front too. And then last year, you know, Keaton Mitchell obviously is a good player, but you know, he's not one of these guys that just breaks tackles. Now there's some holes. And so there's a sense of pride in that room. They all understand we have to pass protect better. Okay, individually and collectively, quarterback, receivers, everybody has to be better in the passing game. Okay, but the room I coach, you know, they need to take a lot of pride in that too. But right now, our head coach and our D line coach and our O line coach believe in, by God, put the ball down, come off the ball, and let's knock each other backwards. That's what we believe in. So we're going to recruit to that. We want kids with really good lower body strength to be able to move people. And we've done that on both sides of the ball. And so, you know, some of them have to keep coming. They got to grow up a little bit. Haven't played a lot, but we've also got some guys who play a lot of football that are pretty good at. So that's going to be the deal. Yeah, you win. You win when you run it and when you stop the run.
Coach, a lot of guys that have been within the program, kind of homegrown, so to speak, Isaiah Foote, Richard Pierce, Walt Stribling, as well as others. Just talk about some of those names we haven't hit on just yet.
Yeah, they're all guys that are in the two deep. They're coming out of spring. Walt started, I guess it was 2 years ago, he started against Temple up there. Again, it was an injury deal, and he went in, and you know, I mean, he struggled. They had an NFL defensive end, and but he fought the fight and we won the game pretty easily and gained a lot of confidence. He had a much better spring practice than he had a season last year. Didn't play enough last year. He just wasn't quite ready. But coming out of spring, he was one of the real positives. And he'll back up Bailey Malavik and play. Okay. Isaiah Foote has been just kind of he's a development guy, but you talk about lower body strength. You talk about the ability to hit people and move people. He's a diamond in the rough. There's not much game film of him, except on field goal teams, but, he had an excellent spring. We will be better. Those two guys as possible starters, backup for sure, will be better at those two positions with those two guys, whether they start or not. And then Richard Pierce is just he's a 400-pound bench guy. He's very raw, very didn't play, out of control, but this spring and this summer in particular, his fundamentals, his footwork have gotten much better. And right now he's in the two deep. I'm not ready to say he's in the top eight or whatever, but he's in the two deep and he's fighting his ass off to stay there. So both those kids, the two inside guys, Foote and Pierce, have excellent strength, excellent toughness. You know, if there's a if a fight breaks out on the field, there's a better than even chance it's going to be one of those two guys that, you know, is in the mix of it. I mean, they're two hard-nosed kids. And we'll just have to see how they do in camp to determine how much they play.
Coach, years ago, I know I've heard the story from our good friend Brian Bailey over the years on his show about the nickname for the offensive line being the Dancing Bears. Do you have a nickname for this year's squad?
No, not yet. I let them do that. And I don't know who started that Dancing Bear deal. Might have been Brian Bailey. I don't know. But we are, and I know why, because those kids that particular year were very athletic, and we ran a lot of wide zone, which was, you know, a little bit more lateral, you know, so it looked like they were, you know, they were in pretty good sequence with each other. But here's what I do with them. I say, okay, the left-hand corner of the chalkboard up here, okay, I want you guys to write your goals, okay, what you want to be known for. And so they did that this summer. They wrote down the things that they felt like that they wanted to be known for. But they did not give themselves a name. I think that's still up in the air. I think they want to wait and make sure they don't name themselves and not be able to stand up to it.
You know, Coach, I often tell people that aren't too familiar with, you know, East Carolina, that we are the best kept secret on the East Coast. And, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts, you know, the I would say the trajectory of the program that you're on right now, heading into year four. And if you're able to, you know, keep this staff together and continue recruiting at the pace you are, where do you see the future of this program? I mean, where do you see us, you know, trending in the next 4 or 5 years?
Well, there's obviously, you know, there's some seismic shifts taking place in college football. You know, I have been here. This will be my 19th year coming up. And so I have seen lots of things happen here. And if I can recollect, I don't know the exact numbers, but until I came back here 3 years ago, I think I'd only lost to Central Florida one time in all those years I was here. I think I'd only lost to Cincinnati once. Okay. And I know where we've been. I know where we can go. Now, certain programs, and those two in particular, have made tremendous jumps financially into developing programs. So they now obviously they're moving to the Big 12. So they made those jumps. Not every school can do those things. But I know where we've been. If you're comparing us with the teams in our league, you know, we beat Houston for the conference championship my last year here with Skip. Okay. You know, and those are three teams that are moving on. I'm not saying it takes, you know, I'm not an administrator. I'm not getting into all that. I'm answering your question in the sense that I know where we've been. Okay. And there's no reason why we can't go there again. We've got the right mentality. You win here by being, and this sounds awkward because everybody says they're tough, but you win here by believing you're tougher than everybody you play. Matt, when you were here, that's the chip on your shoulder. Okay. That's how you do it here. I think there's been a head coach here or two over the last decade or so that didn't understand that. And they lost the toughness. They lost the edge. They lost the background of what East Carolina University is all about. It's all about overcoming, whether it's academically or financially or whatever. You know, you've been to Greenville lately. Greenville is not remotely like it was when you went to school here. Okay. This community is always going to overcome. And that's why the fan support for football is so big here, because football, when it's done right here, it represents the attitude of Eastern North Carolina. And not many places, not many regional schools have that kind of influence over their communities like we do. And so Mike Houston is that kind of guy. John Gilbert is that kind of guy. The new chancellor, there's no question he's that kind of guy. Okay. They get it. All right. And when you have people come in here to run the program or run the university that don't get it, now you see what happened. Okay, you can have people come to Ohio State or Alabama and may not quite understand it, but they're going to win. All right. This place depends on that kind of leadership. And right now, like you said, as long as we keep the staff together and, you know, the direction we're going, there's no reason why we can't be the best team in the American Conference.
Coach, along those lines, and you talk about improving the program, you guys are recruiting at a very high level. So just talk about with everything you have to sell, and we hear it all the time, once you get them to campus, and Coach Houston talks about it with them seeing everything that East Carolina has to offer from an academic side, from an atmosphere standpoint at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, and steadily improving facilities, getting those to where they need to be. Talk about the way recruiting has improved as the program has improved under this regime.
Yeah, we still got to be real, okay? I mean, you know, there is a pecking order, okay? There is, you know, the university of in every state, okay? I don't care what state it is. Florida State and Miami have a hard time beating Florida, okay, in recruiting. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so there's always going to be that, you know, Houston can be Houston all they want, but they, when it comes right down to it, the kid's going to go to Texas before he goes to Houston. And so you always you understand that, but what you have to do is you have to do a better job of evaluating of where a kid is going to be in a year or 2 years. You have to really evaluate, okay, what can we do to make this kid in 2 years look like the guy that those guys got? Well, recruit height and recruit speed. Okay. You can't make a kid faster. You can do drills all you want. Matt was slow. He was slow when he got it. He was slow when he left. And you did a bunch of drills along the way, right?
That's right, Coach. That's right.
But you can't do anything about height. Okay. But the secret here is to find kids that are tough, that are got a chip on the shoulder. You know, hey, you know, you didn't recruit me. Okay, I'll show you. All right. And you got to find that kid that's got that kind of toughness, that has really good foot speed, really good height. Okay. And you can add weight if a kid can bend his knees and hips. Okay. You can't make him faster and you can't make him taller. And so that's where the program has to be stronger than recruiting. Okay. Because when it comes down to the three-star and the five-star, we're gonna get our share of threes, but we ain't gonna get the five, and so we gotta make up that difference. And the difference is how you develop them and how you coach them, and so we're real careful. Going back to kind of answering your question, yeah, when you get them on campus, they're all shocked at what they see. That doesn't mean they're coming. But not a one will ever say, well, that was a wasted visit. Okay. But what you got to do a great job of as a position coach and as a head coach, you got to do a great job of seeing, is that kid going to fit our culture? Is he going to thrive in a hard nose, in your face, get after your ass culture? And if he can, then that's who you win with. And that's who you recruit. We got. I won't get into names, but we've had a couple of kids come in here that are pretty highly recruited now. I mean, like, whoa, and you know, but you're around them. I wouldn't want that guy in my meeting room. Okay, he's privileged. You know, he's, you know, a prima donna. I mean, you know, he thinks his crap doesn't stink. No, that's not the way we play at East Carolina now. Okay, I gotta be careful. I know we're on the radio how I say it, but when we practice in spider pads and helmets, it's a full speed scrimmage. It is full speed. Okay, and we're not my hamstring this or the bull crap. No, that doesn't happen here, and so that's how you recruit here. Okay, you got to make sure that kid can handle what we're about to give him.
Yeah, Coach, and I think this is why, you know, the East Carolina fans have so much respect for you. I mean, you get it. You understand the culture. You understand what we need here. And, I think that's why, you know, if you read any message board, there's so much respect for you amongst East Carolina fans. And certainly everybody, was so happy to see you come back again. For Coach, is this your – third stint? I can't. If third, nah, or
fourth.
Fourth stint. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yep. More games than anybody in school history. Not even close. Well, just to address what you said, I understand the whim of fans and how they can go hot and cold and all that. But the one thing I do know is that they care about it. And that's what's made me. And I've coached in some great places. I mean, I've been in the SEC. I've been in the ACC at two different places. I've been in some good places. But what's special about this place is that, you know, it's just not a wine and cheese place, and I'm not a wine and cheese guy. And you know, let's play hard nosed ball, and then I appreciate that, and I respect the fans as much as they respect, you know, hopefully they respect what I do, and because it's just a neat thing to come out there on the field and see the same kind of hunger in our fans' eyes as we have in our players' eyes.
And Coach, we're glad that you're not a wine and cheese guy. That just does not fit with you at all.
Well, no,
we've run a little bit long, but I wanted to ask you really quick. Sad learning about the passing of Phil Petty. Just want to get your thoughts before we close things out.
Well, it's sad and it's a shame. You know, he's 43 years old. You know, a vibrant guy. You know, his life has been, you know, full of fun and nothing but friends. And I don't know anybody that could ever say anything ill about him. He was a great teammate at South Carolina, and I was with him there. He was a GA for us there when I was there. Then obviously we brought him here, and every day, just a smile, just a, you know, just a great guy to be around. And you know, God has plans, and you know, it's just a shame that we can't understand them all. But he will be sorely missed by a lot of people.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. You were very generous, and I know we'll let you get back to the rest of your summer vacation, if you will. And good luck to you this season. Look forward to big things to O-line and for the Pirates.
Great, guys. I appreciate y'all. And you know, when you get down here, come by and see me.
Thanks so much, Coach. Hey, come back on soon, all right? We'd love to have you anytime.
All right, and that's Coach Schenk, and I appreciate him being on the show this morning. Guys, wow, what a great one there. That's, you know, hey, when you have a guest like him, it's hard to go on after him, right? Wow. That was great. You know, what we were running long there, but he actually was talking. I was telling him about Skip and really happy for him, Coach Holtz, winning the first championship of the new USFL. And Coach was just telling us that he actually had eight guys, Bubba, I don't know if you heard that, backstage in the league this year. That tells you how great a recruiter he is. I'm just, you know, maybe everybody says I have blind optimism. I did not under Coach Mo, and I was candid about that on the show, on and off air. Guys, this is the most excited I've been about Pirate football in a really, really long time. Probably you would have to go back to 2014, the next to last year for Ruffin McNeil. I don't know about you, Matt, you're a former player. Bubba, you're a football player as well. But on the outside looking in for me, I'm just really tickled to see Pirate football back.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, like that interview gets me fired up. I guess – you know, I consider myself, you know, I guess an old school mentality when it comes to football. I love to run the ball. I love smash mouth. I love physical play up front. And, you know, you hear Coach talk and, you know, sure, he's been around for a long time. And you know, he's a guy that brings tremendous experience. You know, sometimes people say when a coach, you know, gets a little older in years that they can't relate to younger players. Well, that's not the case with Coach Schenk. I mean, you could tell he's still got the fire. You know, he's got the drive. He understands. And, you know, the big thing, guys, is when you listen to him talk, he just gets the culture here. He gets what East Carolina is all about. And he's 100% right. I mean, you know, we're not the wine and cheese crowd. You know, we are the, you know, when practice is over, we're going to go in and work out for another hour, 2 hours, and we're going to outwork people and we're going to be the tougher team. So, man, I'm just fired up listening to him. And I thought that was an awesome interview, fellas.
No doubt, Dave, or Matt, rather. But Dave, going back to what you said a moment ago, as far as NFL players, you have a guy like Deontay Smith, who's on the Cincinnati Bengals and, you know, had the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl last year, and they nearly won the thing, and the best that organization had been in 30 years. And so it's great to have guys that, you know, I know Deontay battled some injuries when he was here, but it's great to have former Pirates doing things like that in the NFL.
No question. And you look at, we were talking about Cliff Godwin for the baseball field, the baseball diamond, if you will, having, you know, it hurts to lose Zach Agnos. I know we're talking about football, but when we look at Matt, I truly believe when coach says there's guys on the offensive line that have the potential to make it NFL, if you know anything about Coach Schenck, he is not going to mince words. He's not going to just say stuff that doesn't mean or being nice. That gets the program nowhere. When he says that gives me a lot of hope where it was little or no hope in the previous administration before Houston.
Yeah, no doubt. And he specifically mentioned Noah Henderson and Bailey Malavic. I'm going to say it right this time, Malavic. He mentioned those two guys as two people that he sees with NFL ability. And, you know, it's really interesting because both of those guys, like Coach mentioned, their career has been somewhat derailed here over the last few years by injuries. But you saw Noah bounce back last year and put together a good season. Now he's healthier. He's a year healthier. And then Bailey, now at 315 pounds roughly, about 1 year, almost 1 year, a little shy of that, tearing his ACL. So you hope that those guys are ready to go for the season. You hope that they're healthy. And you hope that they're able to maximize their talents.
You bring up Bailey Malavic. Coach Schenck went into a little detail there as far as what transpired with him last season. They're seven plays in or whatever against App State, tearing his ACL. But you go back to that 2020 season, he was about 245 or 250 pounds. The guy has put on 70 pounds and – you know, from everything we're hearing and, you know, directly from the horse's mouth there with Coach Schenck, as far as, you know, maintaining that ability to move after adding 70 pounds. So that's not surprising to hear Coach Schenck say that he feels that Bailey, if he stays healthy and continues to improve, has that opportunity to play in the NFL.
No doubt. And guys, you know, there's so many times when it's like the Public Enemy song. I'm going retro here, old school on you, Matt. Do you remember the Public Enemy song, Don't Believe the Hype?
And yeah.
Well, ask Coach in the green room, you know, hey, you better believe the hype. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can put this on your bulletin board at NC State. NC State, I don't care if they're the number one team in the nation, they better be ready for us in Greenville. I think it's funny how the Raleigh media has put us down. And that's actually great, though. You know why? I love it when the Raleigh-Durham market doesn't give us respect. That's my home market. I absolutely love it when they do that, because that's exactly what we need. We need to be full of piss and vinegar. I don't know any better term to match. Like, that's what Coach Houston and that coaching staff, they're mean and dirty. Did you get a feeling, Matt, when you were watching football under Coach Mo, no offense, but you didn't get the feeling those kids were mean. Those kids were dirty. Those kids were, and I don't mean cheap shots. I just mean really good football players when I say that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I just think that the culture was not there under Mo. You know, the mentality that we need to be successful here. And quite frankly, I don't think the system he was running was the right system for ECU. And you think about the transformation, you know, over the years from, and I mentioned this earlier, air raid to a little more of a spread, you know, true spread concept under Mo. And now a much more balanced attack where you're a run first football team. You're trying to set up play action. You're trying to do so many different things. So it's definitely been a transformation. And, you know, I think this is the year in year four now where you really start to see the fruits of the labor. I mean, you really start to see these things pay off. And, you know, I anticipate a big year.
No doubt. And I certainly anticipate a big year in the stands as well. I'm getting the fan support, you know, all the tough years and tough times. But you know, last year, we're back in a bowl for the first time in 7 years. And we're right around 14,100 season tickets sold. Let's blow that 15,000 number that the athletic department set out of the water. Let's get it up there about 17 or 18,000. And there's no reason why we can't do it. And I saw a number within the last few days, guys. I'm just talking about the average attendance within the AAC. I can't remember who it was to put this number out there, but I'm just saying where East Carolina had ranked third a season ago. And despite all the success of Cincinnati and UCF, I think UCF was actually top in the league because of the capacity of its stadium is greater than Nippert Stadium at UC. But the Knights averaged roughly 40,500. And then you had Cincinnati, 37,000 and change. And then you had East Carolina, 36,000 and something. So there's no reason this year with this home schedule. Yes, you have 7 home games. To me, I look at that as a plus. You have NC State, UCF, Houston, Navy, et cetera. There's no reason why we cannot surpass that 43,000 mark in average attendance and you know, really put our best foot forward as a program and lead the American in attendance.
Yeah, guys, not to get ahead of myself, Matt, but for me personally, you just get that feeling. I hate to use the term, and forgive me, folks, but it just has a feeling something special about this season. I really do. I think there's nobody – this is the perfect scenario, Matt and Bubba, for us, how nobody's – Rodney Dangerfield, nobody's giving it respect. You got all kinds of trash talking. People think they can come in our house and whip our butts game in and game out. Well, that used to be the case, but I'm telling you guys – We might sneak up on some folks. I'll just say that this season. And again, for all the folks who say I'm blind optimism and I have that, well, that's fine. I actually believe in this coaching staff. And we're at a point now where I was thinking of the term crossroads, Matt, the other day for this program. I really feel we're at a crossroads right now where, yes, things can go really wrong for you, injuries, et cetera, things off the field that I don't anticipate that happening, but you know that it's unfortunate, the bad part of our game. But I really feel like that at the worst, 7-5, but I really believe 8-4, like I was telling you guys, and hopefully we'll see how that the fruits of our labors, meaning the coaching staff, not us, how it pays off. And certainly when these guys come back and reporting and what guys help me out a week or so, is it August 1st, I believe, off the top of my head, or 3rd? Is it August 3rd, Bubba?
August 1st, I believe August 3rd is the first day of practice when they'll have a workout and helmets on.
So that's coming up. I know we'll have media days coming up. It's just amazing. You know, that's one of the good things about seeing these media days coming up, and we'll try to have that next week, by the way. Bubba's been working his tail off on getting that for us for hopefully the AAC next week. But watching the media days. Thank you, Bubba. One of my favorite movies, Back to School. I love it. Rodney Dangerfield. Classic. If you're watching it live or certainly archived, but just love it. I appreciate everything about the program. I appreciate you, Matt, very much for all your hard work. And I know as a player, and Bubba, you've played too. I know as a player, you've got to be proud of where the program has finally, we're starting to get back to the point where we're respectable now. We're not going to be blown out anymore. We're in every single game, as I mentioned the other night, and I'm just tickled to death to know that Bubba says it best. It was fourth quarter games. There's going to be a lot of them, and it comes down to, I really believe, guys, and I'll leave you with this. I think it comes down to with us who wants it more. Does East Carolina want it more, or these other teams? Meaning that it's a 50-50 game. Who wants it? And as Coach Logan would say, Matt, the last play of the game.
Yeah.
You talk about that margin, Dave. Look no further than last season. And granted, and you know, as we grow the program to where we want it to be, we have a little bit more of a margin for error. But you look at last season, and Pirates finished 7-5. But there were 3 of those 5 games that you definitely could have won. Maybe some of them even should have won. And then you had some other games, you know, like Marshall, where you came back from 17 down in the fourth quarter. And so my point being that there wasn't a whole lot of difference from 3 or 4 wins and 9 or 10 wins. But that's part of the growth of a program. You know, you look at it down through the years, you know, when the program improved under Skip, we went from 5 wins to 7 wins to 8 wins to 9 wins to 9 wins. So, I mean, that's all part of it, finding out how to win those close games against the better competition like the UCFs, Houston, Cincinnati, et cetera.
And, guys, Matt, I want to mention one thing to you, too, that comes to mind. I forgot to mention the other night. I'm so excited for Holton Ahlers to have this O-line. I wanted to tie him into the O-line. I don't care if you're Tom Brady. If Tom Brady didn't have a good line, he's on his butt a lot. And yep. I really truly believe if Holton has the time to throw and to be, as we talked about Matt last season, let him be Holton, because we know that Mason now is at a point where he's come along. He's doing great academically off the field. He's learned the playbook. We got to give him major props. He looks, man, that spring game, he looks so good, Matt. So when you have a situation like that, when you have the O-line to protect a veteran quarterback like Holton Ahlers or a guy that's a younger guy like Mason Garcia, I'm telling you guys, we can win some games. Maybe some games we got to lead. You put Mason in for most of the fourth quarter, something like that. Mason's the kind of kid. Holton has turned this program around, and Mason could be like the cherry on the top when you can go to heights we've never seen with this program. But we got to – I know it's one step at a time, right, Matt?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up Holton, Dave, because it's important to tie him into, you know, this offensive line discussion. And, you know, we've talked about it all starts up front, but it's if you have the foundation – the O-line, the quarterback with experience, guys who are – they understand the system. They're comfortable. Then you can really start to take off as a program. And, you know, like I look at this year for Holton, we're going to have a strong running game, okay, which is going to really open things up in terms of play action, RPO. But I think Holton, to your point, Dave, now that we have a backup that's ready to go in Mason Garcia – I think, and what I'm hoping for is that he can be utilized a little bit more as a runner, because I think then you really stress the defense. I mean, if you can start creasing people up the middle in the running game, and then, you know, blend in that read option, get Holton on the outside, and, you know, you can really, really do some damage. So I kind of see it the same way, where everything seems to be, at least on paper, coming together. And you know, I expect big things. I mean, my expectations are very high. We should be in every single football game this year. I don't care who we play. I fully anticipate the game against NC State to go deep into the fourth quarter. And it's going to, you know, not to sound cliche, but I do think it's going to come down to a few plays, maybe a turnover, similar to what we saw last year against South Carolina. That game really came down to a turnover right before halftime. That kind of sealed our fate, I thought. But I agree. I feel really good about where we are on paper. Now, of course, we need to go out and play. But I think the big thing, fellas, not to be long-winded here, but you got to have a great camp. You got to have a great camp, and you have to be ready to go week one. When you step on the field versus NC State, you have to be ready to go. We can't have a quarter or a half where we're sort of feeling things out, because they're just too good, and we'll get behind and we'll be playing catch up. We have to be ready to go on the first snap. So have a great camp. You know, make sure everybody's ready to go, and make it a physical camp, you know, a physical camp where these guys are really challenged. And, you know, I expect great things.
Yeah. There is Coach Shank was wrapping up that in that portion of the show, and he had some excellent sound bites for anyone that has any questions about how we practice. Some awesome sound bites there from Coach Shank.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm glad you mentioned that, Bubba. Matt, I said this before, and I can't remember if you've chimed in on this or not, but when I was there starting in 2018, we started the show, right? And that was my first year back covering the Pirates. When the time you were there, I was there during the Logan era when you were playing. And you compare the way that you guys used to practice, and I would see it, and the press conference, just everything about the program. What the worst part of it was having the media, and we beat up on the media, I know, all, you know, off air and all that, but when you see the media depressed, that is not, most people say, well, that's probably a good thing, but maybe politics wise, but sports wise, when you see the media just ho-hum, yeah, how you doing, you know, like that, that's how bad the Mo era was. And when you see now, the guys are, when you see the media now, now that we're winning again, you see smiles on their faces, and they're covering the program, yes, but I think that the cool thing about our, even in our media, not to get off topic, guys, real quick, is the media even cares. That's how great this program is. The media cares. You look at a Brian Bailey, for example, the guy's not a Pirate, but he might as well be a Pirate, and belated happy birthday to our good friend, had a milestone birthday. I know he's in the Caribbean living it up like he should be, but Brian Bailey's an awesome example of some guy that could have gone anywhere. He stayed here. He eats, drinks Pirate football, Pirate sports, period. He's at every, like, event you can imagine. Remember the infamous cannon back in the day? We rib him about that every once in a while. But guys like that care. They get it. You were talking about the culture. Well, even the media here gets, unless there's some new guy or new lady here. But anyway, I'm just pumped up. I hope people will get their tickets. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to, I was thinking about Coach Houston, we need to make sure, like his opening speech, the very first day he took his job, winning the press conference, we need to make sure that we are like the 12th man on that field, being so loud, rocking a rowdy-dowdy. Get your tickets now. Go ahead. I know people that, Matt, they're so excited about Pirate football, they're planning their tailgates right now. Like, what should we do? What should we get this year? Add to it. So, and you know, there's a lot of people we don't even know that are doing that. So get your tickets now. By the way, for those of you that want to sit in the club level, I think John Gilbert said there's some seats over there still available. All the luxury boxes and all that are sold out. So we're in good shape. We just need to make sure that we get a loud crowd there. And not only, let me say this too, and then I'll stop, Bob, I promise. We're running long. For me, don't make it just NC State. I don't care what game it is. If the Pirates put on a football uniform, what else is there to do in Greenville, North Carolina in the fall but see a great football game? Why would you not come and see a program that's on the rise again, and the tailgating, the whole atmosphere after the game is huge around here? So don't make it just NC State or special game. We have 7 home games. Be there at every game. Be there early. Be in the stadium early, and let's go. Sorry, Bubba. I know I haven't given you the final word.
No, I'm good. Really don't have anything else left to add. But like you said, we'll have some tremendous content headed your way over the next few days. We'll see about getting some other members of the coaching staff on maybe before camp gets started. We'll also hopefully have Phil Steele back on the show for our annual visit. We'll believe early next week we'll catch up with Connor Norby. Connor's in the AA ranks now with the Bowie Bay Sox in the O's organization. And then we'll also have our opponent previews. We'll catch up with Johnny Evans from NC State, Harry Minium from Old Dominion, Chris Haymeyer from Campbell, Pete Medhurst from Navy, and then a lot of others. I know in early August we'll catch up with Corey Glore.
Sounds good, Matt. Bubba, thanks to Coach Shank. What a great guy. Love that guy. And I think we should have, you know, we talk about Coach Houston. I think we should have a statue of Coach Shank outside of Dowdy-Ficklin. That's how much I think of the guy. And I know he's not ready to retire and hang up the whistle, so to speak. But thanks to Coach Shank. Thanks to all of you watching live here on a Friday morning on the deck of my sister's house right here, making lemonade, so to speak, doing anything you want. When you have a guy like Coach Shank, you drop what you're doing and definitely on the iPad or whatever you're, wherever you are, to make it happen. Guys, thanks so much. Appreciate you, Matt. Again, thanks to Bubba. Appreciate you, buddy, for all the stuff behind the scenes. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Good day, everybody, and go Pirates.
My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. From the sidelines down to the post. Put it down like not even close. All out to the last whistle blow. For the flag of the soul and crossbones. Everybody stand up, get your hands up. That a team knows that we got their back.